Good morning. Let me welcome you to our morning worship service here at Independent Bible Church of Duryea. Great to see you. I love seeing folks talking and fellowshipping and greeting one another in the Lord. And I hope that continues after the service. A lot of times a foyer is a fun place after the service. Folks are talking and kids are running around. And so glad to have you here on a cold February morning. But we are thrilled to have you here on this morning service. Looking forward to worshiping the Lord together. Glad to have each of you here. Obviously, this time in the winter, there's always going to be someone, family, individual sick with sickness in the wintertime. But we are glad to have each of you here this morning. Trust you have a bulletin. You can follow along exactly how our morning service will take place as the Lord directs, with hymns and choir. And so again, I don't see any first-time visitors or anyone maybe that's slipped in that I'm not aware of, or maybe I do right here. Do I have another visitor right here? Is this a granddaughter, another granddaughter? Okay, sister here. Wonderful, wonderful. She's brought her granddaughter, been here for a couple weeks, and now a younger sister. We are glad to have her with us here, and praise the Lord for that. Well, welcome, welcome. Well, we're glad to have each of you here. I'm going to let you stay seated this morning for prayer. After that, grab a hymnal, and I have a feeling our song man's going to have you stand, all right? But be ready to sing this morning, Faith is the Victory. Again, if you see someone that's been missing or you're aware of a prayer request, hey, that person is a little under the weather, haven't seen them, recovering from a surgery, I wonder where they're at. Pray for them, but also lift up their name before the Lord here during this time of prayer. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer together this morning. Father, as we begin this morning service of worship, we pray, Lord, we've come together to worship you, Lord. We pray that our hearts have been prepared to receive the Word of God. I pray that as we prepare to sing the hymn, Songs of the Faith, Lord, whether we are familiar with the hymn, the words, the tune, or whether it's a new tune, Lord, I pray that we'd sing with all of our heart out of joy overflowing because of our relationship with you, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we're praying if there's anybody here today, those that may be watching by way of live stream because of sickness or travel, Lord, if they do not know Christ as Savior, or if they're religious but yet lost, Lord, I pray today you would draw them to you. Show them their need of salvation through Jesus Christ, Lord, and may they receive you as their Savior today and begin that new journey, new walk with you. Lord, we ask that all that's done today, Lord, that you would be well pleased with. Lord, we pray that you would be lifted up, Lord, not myself, not any person, but that you would be lifted up, Lord, and we'd see you in a new light of Scripture. We love you. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, let's take our songbooks at this time. 413. Let's go ahead and stand together as we sing Faith is the Victory. 413. Wondrous Victory.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foaming gales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Saints above, with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept o'er on every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory.
Faith is the victory. Faith is
much. You may be seated. At this time, choir has special music. Message, great and marvelous is the Lord our God. Would you take your hymn books now and turn to 504? And I'm going to ask you to stand once again as the choir will come down to join you during this song. 504, oh say, but I'm glad. 504, oh say, but I'm glad.
There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my tongue's overgone. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Wonderful, marvelous love he brings into a heart that's glad. Who opens the mouth and tongue can sing.
Thank you so much. You may be seated.
Thank you.
this is my story, this is my song. Do you know your story when you trusted Christ as your Savior? When you changed your life? Just before the message this morning, I want to continue in that theme. If you read in the New Testament, you will find the acts and works of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went about healing in all manner of places, all manners of disease, those that were possessed even of devils, those that were born blind, he caused them to see. Those whose fevers raged within them, cast them aside and gave them victory. Those who were helpless, he gave help. To those that came to him, he did not turn away. And he still does that today. Title of the song is Then Jesus Came. Sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, a tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. From home and friends, the evil spirits drove him. Among the tombs, he dwelt in misery. He cut himself as demon powers possessed him. Then Jesus came and set the captive free. Unclean, unclean, the leopard cried in torment. The deaf, the dumb, in helplessness stood near. The fever rage, disease had gripped its victim. Then Jesus came and cast out every fear. When Jesus comes, a tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills a life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. So men today have found the Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself within. When Jesus comes, a tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He
takes the plume and fills a life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Now we did a few things out of order, but at this time we're going to take our hymn book and turn to 368. Children will be dismissed during this song. We can remain seated. 368, A Tender Heart. We'll sing just two stanzas before the message.
Sometimes you sing that last chorus, you're sure to put on autopilot and shut the book, but that chorus said, Savior, while my heart is tender, I would give thee every part. All my talents I surrender. I am thine, Lord, here's my heart. I hope that you meant that. I can sing that sometimes because I like the tune, but did you mean that with all your heart? If you did, then that goes along with our message both today and last Sunday. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I challenged you last Sunday, would you pray that prayer every day last week up to this week? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And there we just sang right before the message, Lord, you have my heart. I hope he has our heart. Lord, well, my heart is tender because it can get cold. It can get set in its ways. It can say, no, Lord, no, I can't do that anymore. I hope that you and I are willing, if the Lord calls us to anything, what we might consider small or big, have a tender heart to walk by faith. Well, if you'll turn in your Bibles, not to Acts where we were last week, but a few books to the right of Acts, the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. If you don't have a Bible today, you left it at home, left it in the car, that's okay. Grab one of the pew Bibles right there in front of you, and you can turn toward the back, page 1625. 1625 in the pew Bible. 1625. The rest of you, 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. All right, let's, before we jump in, ladies, admit it. How many of you ladies are already starting to think about next year's Valentine's banquet and you've got thoughts in your mind already? All right. Some of you are already like, yeah, all right, it's time to meet and put things down, all right? And others are like, whoa, all right. Now, the man we meet a couple weeks before, it doesn't do any good. We meet a week before, it still doesn't do any good. And then finally we just say, all right, what are we going to do, all right? And then normally it gets put together that morning, all right? So if he'd have seen the pictures of what it looked like downstairs as, what, 9 or 10 o'clock yesterday, you'd have little faith. But These guys here did a great job. I'm not much of a decor guy. Just give me good food and a good program. I'm happy, all right? But they did a great job. It all came together, and I appreciate that. So we'll look forward next year to the ladies figuring out what they're going to do and having a great time and make plans to attend. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians, I think at 4, 3. I'm sorry. We'll be primarily in 4, but we're going to start this morning in chapter number 3. Last week, as I mentioned, preached out of Acts chapter 9. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, we said that question needs to come after salvation. All right? We don't need to ask the Lord what he would have us to do when it comes to salvation. Who would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth? We know what the Bible clearly says. It is the will of God, as we heard last night, pastor's message. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whosoever, everyone in this room, we used to have a gentleman, Mr. Norton, home with the Lord, great man. He served for many, he was a Navy veteran, served for many years with Amazing Grace Missions, a mission that goes around to just fairs and farm shows and has a booth, shares Christ. He was a great soul winner. He had a quirky sense of humor. He used to love wearing a button. It would say, I am a whosoever, all right? And people go, what's that mean? I'm a whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know why I'm getting off of Mr. Norton. That's not in my notes, but I remember him one time. He said, hey, he would come up to me and say, hey, you like chicken? I said, yeah, I love fried chicken. He goes, you want a 3-piece chicken dinner? I said, absolutely. He handed me this little capsule. I opened it up. There were 3 pieces of corn. All right. That's a 3-piece chicken dinner. All right. That's what chickens eat. I was like, what? Now, I've used that many times. All right. Why? I talk about Mr. Norton. He just loves souls. I am a whosoever. You know, the Bible says you don't need to pray about that. Lord, do you want me to be saved? Lord, am I one of the elect? You are a whosoever. Christ died for you. God loves you, and it's his will that you be delivered from your sins, become his child, and that you receive everlasting life. You don't even need to pray about being baptized. Lord, do you want me to be baptized? That is not a prayer that God can answer. Right? That is clearly revealed in the scriptures. I'm confident the Lord would not save you if you're saved. No. I do not want you to be baptized, because that goes contrary to the revealed word of God. You don't have to pray about that. That is a step of obedience and faith and sometimes courage to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, which doesn't save you, but is the next step of obedience for the believer to be identified with Jesus Christ publicly and to walk with him. You don't need to pray about attending church. Lord, do you want me to come to serve? Lord, tonight, it's Sunday night, it's cold, it's dark. Now, I realize there's conditions based on health and distance, and I understand that. I'm not saying that you need to just plow your way here if you live a good way off and driving at night and the vision and distance and the ice. We understand that. All right, God's given us common sense. You make wise decisions. But you don't have to pray about this. The Lord wants you to come back tonight, or should you attend Wednesday night with your church, with your family? I understand there are circumstances. The will of God is revealed in the scriptures. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The purpose of the church, what God has for you to exhort, to admonish, to encourage, to challenge, to minister. But there are some things you should be praying about, and that was what was challenged last week. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord might say, you're exactly where I have you, you're exactly where I want you, you're as involved as you need to be, and thank you for your availability and service, and I'll let you know if I need you in any other aspect. Others of you, though, I hope we're praying, and maybe say, Lord, my heart is yearning to do something. I'm not really doing anything. Or, you know, I used to do lots of things, and I've sort of put it on retirement mode. And God's been really pricking me. He's telling me to get doing some stuff. I used to be a starter, but now I went to the bench, and I'm getting tired of being on the bench. I want to get in the game. And maybe you have a yearning for that, and you've been praying that, oh, Lord, what wilt you have me to do? Now, can I say this? One of the great ways to follow up on that prayer is to go to the pastor or pastors and say, Pastor, is there anything you need me to do? Because sometimes we'll just sit around praying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Listening for this mysterious voice that we're not sure exactly what it is. One of the good ways to put feet to that prayer is to go to a spiritual leader in the church and say, is there anything that needs done? And then once they get excited and like, woohoo, yeah, live one, all right? Then you can get nervous and run, all right? We say, yes, there are some ministries we've been praying about. Let's throw you in here. Ah! And that's sometimes where faith comes in, all right? Because sometimes we pray that, and then we just wait and wait and wait, and you have no idea what you're waiting on. And that waiting could turn into years, all right? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I challenge you to pray that. I hope you did. I won't ask if you did. I want to encourage you to continue praying that until the Lord gives you a clear answer. I mentioned this year our theme is Till All Have Heard. Hopefully you have the cards. You'll see some banners and different things throughout the year. Till all have heard. No, that's not my theme. That's the Lord's theme. That's the theme of the Bible. Till all have heard. Now, we understand we can go farther than that. Till all have heard. We're unsatisfied with saying, all right, we did our job. Hey, at the end of the year, we knocked on every door in Duryea. We passed out 5,000 John and Romans. We're done. We understand that there's more to that, but you have to start till all have heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I've been asking you to pray about four potential new ministries that we'd like to begin right now. I mean now, this month, last month, all right? We're already getting into March soon, all right? And already almost, wow, 1/6 of the year gone already. Crossing Towers, Crossing Towers. Now, I've had several of you come up and say some things to me about several of these, and I praise the Lord for that. If you're really serious, sit down with me. We'll say, well, Pastor, I have no idea. What are you looking for? What are we doing? I'll say, here's my vision. Here's what I'd like you to do. Most of these, we want to start at about one time per month. One time per month, 12 times a year. It may progress to twice a month. It could progress to once a week, depending on the ministry and those who are in it. You say, well, I've never done that before. That's fine. Great. Who you don't have to have done it before, all right? I don't know what to do. Well, you got to start somewhere and find out, all right? You sit down, we talk. We say, here's what we're looking for. Let's go over and talk. Let's get it set in the calendar, and here we go. Let's see if we can get, hey, God put on three different couples' hearts or an individual, a single person here. Hey, we've got a little team of five. Well, what are we going to go do there? You're going to have a little service. But I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher to preach. God doesn't have to call you to be a pastor. Hey, we're going to talk about that a little bit, all right? There's the office of a pastor and preaching. There's two different things. All right? Well, I've never done that before. All right? Well, you got to start somewhere. All right? But I don't know what to do. What do you mean a little service? Well, a lot of times those folks maybe aren't in a church service. Or there may be another church that comes in there with different doctrine. Well, why can't we as a church right here in town with them go in and say, we're going to have a little service. It's 30 minutes. It's 40 minutes. Whatever. We don't have a time set here. And you know what? We go in and we have a little bit of time of prayer. Maybe we sing a little bit. Maybe there's a piano player. Maybe there's not. All right? Maybe we go around, visit a little bit with the folks, get to know them a little bit, get some prayer requests. Give a little Bible challenge from the Word of God, visit with them, and that's all. Maybe the first time, it goes so fast, 18 minutes, because you're scared and nervous and everybody's ready to go. All right? And you think, that didn't do a whole lot, but no, it'll do enough. Serenity Care, used to be Old Forge Manor, right up there in Old Forge, same thing. One time a month. That's 12 times a year. It may progress to more than that. A little team that goes in, and you know what? You have a little service. You have a little service. Share the gospel. Visit with the folks. Encourage them in the Lord. Singing, music. Believe me, they won't care one bit about your tune. So don't let that be your excuse. I've taken teens for years and years and years to nursing homes, once a month or more. They're not interested in one bit. They love my singing when I'm there, all right? So there you go. We can get that out of the way right now, all right? And you know, you just they're just gonna love some music. They're gonna love just the fact that somebody's there. Somebody cares enough to have a little thing for them. No, not everybody can hear, understand, and they're in different conditions, but what are you there for? The same reason. Hey, the VFW, the American Legion, that may take a military veteran to get in those. We have some of those. It may take someone to know somebody. I have no idea if it can be done, but you'll never know till you try. Once a week, once a month, I don't know, a special thing now and then. Getting the bus route up and running a little bit, start visiting, knocking on some homes, bringing in some boys and girls. Hey, all of these have probably been done for the most part in the past, or another church has. We just got to get started on them. You say, well, what's the purpose of that? To all have heard. Not just that we can say we have a bunch of ministries, but we need to get the gospel out. There are people there that don't know Christ. How many people? We have Cindy and James live in Crossing Tower. Betty Coolball, that some of you know. How many people you think live in Crossing Tower? If today was the day that they died, they'd go to heaven. I don't know. How many people you think up the road to Serenity Care? How many people there you think know Jesus Christ and have heard a clear presentation of the gospel? I don't know. How many times? Well, most of these, the leader would have to be a member of the church, obviously, but they don't have to be a member to get involved in these ministries. But you'd have to be faithful. We'd have to know your belief and your doctrines, but Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Well, today's message is not titled that. Today's message is a three-word title, and that's very simple. It's called Save to Serve. Save to Serve. You're taking notes. There's notes there at the back of the bulletin. Saved to Serve. If you've been saved, and I hope that's everybody here, then you've already been called to serve. You've been called to minister. So the question is not, has God called you? The question is, how are you ministering and where does he want you? Every believer has been called to serve. You say, prove it. All right, we're going to do that. Let's look in the Bible here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Let's begin at verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible reads verse number 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, For the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Now, we're reading two verses right there in the middle of a chapter, and we need to give context. Not going to be able to get in deep today. You have to know the purpose of the Corinthians, the Judaizers, the religious people who are constantly trying to say that in order to truly be saved, you've got to trust in Christ, but you've also got to keep the Old Testament law, the law of Moses. You've got to, whatever, you've got to keep the Sabbath. You've got to keep circumcision. You've got to do all of these things. And so a lot of run-ins Paul would have with these folks here. And it comes, and so the church here was battling that. There were people being pulled apart. And no, the law, the law, the law, the law. So when you see there when it says the letter in verse number 6, you could substitute the word law. If you were to skim the rest of that chapter, you'll see Moses mentioned. You'll see the law mentioned quite a bit. You're going to see Paul, the apostle, showing you the authority and importance of grace over the law, the law, the law. And so when Paul here under inspiration begins speaking in verse 5, he was being attacked. We're covering some of this in Sunday school. He was attacked often. He's being attacked for them saying, "Who do you think you are?" These Judaizers love to boast. They love to brag. They love to have followers. They love to carry letters of recommendation. Who knows who? Name dropping. And Paul didn't have any of those. All right? And they were bragging and boasting. And so here you have Paul answering that, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. He said, I'm not doing what I do to boast or brag. I'm not here to think that I'm the guy and it all falls on me and you better do it my way and that I have all the gifts and talents. He says, no. Notice what he says in verse 5. But our sufficiency is of God. Everything we do is of God. It's sufficient through Jesus Christ, through God Himself. He has made us able ministers there. Look at verse number 6. Here it is. He hath made us, God, able ministers. You know what that word is there? That's the Greek word deacon, deaconess, deaconess, where we get the word deacon, which means simply a servant. Now, it's not talking here about the office of a deacon, but it's the same thing. God hath made us able ministers, servants of the New Testament, of the New Covenant, of grace. God has made every believer, teenager if you're saved, elderly person if you're saved, visitor if you're saved, if you're a child of God, you've been saved by Jesus Christ, He hath made us, He hath made you and I, able ministers and servants of the New Testament. Not necessarily saying a preacher or the Bible, but of the New Covenant. The covenant of what? Grace. Everybody, He has made us that. He has put us in that position. Whoa! We have been saved to serve. Now, we'll go right to chapter number 4. Chapter number 4, you can see the theme continues. Therefore goes back to everything covered in chapter 3. Basically, a comparison of the letter, the law, and the spirit of grace, and the superiority of grace in Jesus Christ. And all that it has, and the blindness of the Jews, and all the things of what he talks about. Now, we come to chapter 4. Therefore, in light of everything we've just covered, seeing we have this ministry, no doubt right there, not, I wonder if there's a ministry for me. I wonder if God would use me. I wonder if God could use me. We have this ministry. He has made us that. It's part of salvation and then the new life in Christ. He has made us able ministers. Verse 4, chapter 4, 1. Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. You say, wait a minute. Whoa. What ministry? I think today we just, when we hear the word ministry sometimes, and maybe I may help on this, unfortunately, or sometimes spiritual leaders, we often just put it in labels. Ministry. Oh, that means pastor, evangelist, a missionary, youth pastor, music minister, or their spouse. That's about it. I'm not one of those. You know, I'm just a mechanic. I'm a lawyer. I'm a locksmith. I'm a teacher. I'm a nurse. Whoa, we're not talking about that. We're not necessarily talking about full-time ministry, which is a little bit different. We're not talking about a God-called office that are mentioned in the Scriptures necessarily. We're just talking about ministry, serving the Lord in some capacity as a believer. He hath made us able ministers. We have this ministry. We are saved to serve. I like what one pastor said. You say, well, what ministry is that, preacher? I quote, a glorious ministry that brings men and women life, salvation, and righteousness. A ministry that is able to transform men's lives. This ministry is a gift. We receive it from God, and He's given it to every one of us that is saved. That's why we want a ministry at Cross and Tower. That's why we want ministries, because all of us should be ministering primarily with getting the gospel out. Now, many of you do that faithfully, and I praise the Lord for that.
You do it faithfully in your everyday work, your everyday life, with the neighbor, with the postman, with the barber, with the dentist. Not all of you do, but many of you do. But there's also the ministry of, hey, I've got this ministry. That's the ministry of getting the gospel out. God hath called you. He's called me to serve in the ministry. Notice verse 1 again. Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. It's not even an option. It shouldn't be an option. It's not if you want to. We have received it. This is talking to believers. If you have received mercy, and if you're saved, you and I have received mercy. Wow, the abundant mercy and compassion of God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive us of our sins when we called upon Him in faith and repentance. He bestowed abundant mercy. His compassions fail not, they're new every morning. If we have received that mercy and been transformed and have everlasting life and the Holy Spirit living within and our future, wow, we have this ministry then. Whoa! We've received that mercy. It's like the chorus. Maybe you know this little chorus. How many know this? After all He's done for me. After all He's done for me, how can I do less than give Him my best after all He's done for me? How can I not give Him my best? How is it even possible for a believer to sit and not serve? Yes, it is. You can get cold. You can get disenchanted. You can get bitter. You can get apathetic. You can have a conscience that can be seared with a hot iron. You can sit through services, not even listen, pay attention, do the duty. You cannot have any interest in it. You can say, I did that years ago, and bad people laughed at me, and blah, 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 blah. I don't know what. Or you can look at yourself and just say, I can't do that anymore. Absolutely, it's possible to just sit and do nothing and let 10, 20% of the church try to do it all. And that happens. That's where burnout comes in. I think of C.T. Studd, his famous quote, "If Jesus Christ be God, and He died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him." If I believe that with all my heart, He died for me, He saved me, then there's no such thing as a sacrifice. What can I do for my Lord? Wow. Notice the end of chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, it's assumed. It's assumed. You are saved. You have this ministry. Now, it may sit in your back pocket and you never use it. You may go to the judgment seat of Christ and have never done a thing. You may have had a ministry, pricked your heart, never done anything with it, and just went through life. But you and I have it. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, notice, we faint not. We faint. Now that word faint, when you see that here, especially in the New Testament, it means to grow weary. That means to lose heart. That means to quit. That means to even fail. I know, but I did it before and I failed. I did it and it was awful. I was so humiliated. I'm so embarrassed. The devil wants you to get focused on you. You always say stuff like me or I, not the Lord. Yeah, I sang, and boy, people were out there laughing and snickering and stuff. I knocked on a few doors, and boy, I mean, they just some expert came to the door and made me look like a fool. Shutting that down. What does that mean? Is that the command of the Lord? I tried teaching. I've never taught before. I don't usually think I do. I taught. It was a disaster. I mean, I fumbled through the whole lesson. I was terrible. I don't think the kids got a thing out of it. No way, Jose, anymore for me. I'm not talking about Jose Gonzalez either, all right? No way. Forget it. I'm not doing it again. Pastor Moore asked me to do a little youth activity. It was a disaster. How do you know it was a disaster? Who told you it was a disaster? God? Well, it just didn't go well. Think back to about 1800, there's an old Scottish preacher, discouraged, disheartened. He went to the leaders in his church, small church, and said, I'm quitting, I'm getting out of it. They said, why, preacher, why? Whole year, nothing's happened. Why the whole year? The only thing from the whole year, little Bobby got, 4-year-old Bobby, I mean, come on. I don't know if he was saved, little Bobby Muffin. What's the point? Little Bobby, huh? Little Bobby Moffat grew up to become a man named Robert Moffat. Robert Moffat became one of the first pioneer missionaries of South Africa. Robert Moffat's known for his famous quote that when I rise in the morning and walk out of my hut, I see in the north hills the smoke of 1,000 villages where no one has ever shared the gospel. Robert Moffat served Christ for 50, 60 years in South Africa. In fact, he's from Scotland, little Bobby Moffat. Just some little kid that supposedly got saved. What's the point? Big Robert Moffat came back and spoke at a missionary meeting at a church. And guess who was sitting out there? A teenage boy named David Livingston. David Livingston was inspired because he was a medical student to serve Christ. And guess what? David Livingston married Robert Moffat's daughter and went to South Africa. And he got to those 1,000 villages and more, didn't he? Giving his heart for Christ. And you know who read about the exploits of David Livingston and was stirred? A Scottish girl named Mary Slessor, who began to work with the group of people that they said, you can't do that. She was 15, reading the stories of David Livingston because she also was Scottish. And she got a burden for the mill girls who worked the mills. Got to remember, teenagers back in those days, Mary Slessor worked 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the mills. Some of them would work 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. as a kid. She had a burden for the shawlies, the mill girls who wore little shawls. Nobody wanted them in the church, so she started her own class. I don't even know if she prayed, Lord, what would thou have me to do? She said, they need the Lord. I'm 15. Most of the time, we'd be shocked if any of these teens said, God wants me to do Cross and Tower. We'd be like, come on, they're kids. What, he didn't? Do you not know the stories of teenagers? Do you not know what they began to do? Do you not know some of the stories? Whoa! Just think about that. You get discouraged. I teach my lesson every week. No, nothing ever happens in my little Sunday school class. Only one kid ever even comes. Kids for Truth. I mean, I don't know if anything, we're doing anything. Nothing's happening. Go soul winning. No one ever comes. Is that why we go? Those kind of things expose our motives. Why do we serve? Why do we serve? What's the admonition right here from the Holy Spirit? Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, because you're going to be tempted to quit. I failed. It didn't work. I've done it for a minute. Why can't somebody else do it? I'm always doing it. Is there nobody else that can do it? I'm tired of doing it. Well, remember, if God's gifted you in that area, that gift never expires. If God has gifted you in a specific area, He has given you that gift for service. That gift doesn't get passed to other people or put on the shelf. You can bury it and never use it, but it's yours for service. That's why you're being asked to do that. That's why God uses you. You see, by the way, in the same chapter, look at verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not. We faint not. Do you know that's the number one thing that will get you out of the ministry? And I'm not just talking about pastor evangelists. I'm just talking about serving the Lord in church. And that doesn't mean there aren't times where you need a break. That doesn't mean there aren't times where you need a little bit of rest. There doesn't mean there aren't some seasons where you say, you know what, I need a little season here and then. But be careful. Be aware of human nature. Those small seasons turn into long seasons. And those long seasons just become a pattern of nothing. So you do have to be careful. There's nothing wrong with breaks and getting away and some rest, and you need to know yourself and physically and things. But be careful, human nature, those little two-month breaks become one-year breaks and become permanent breaks and become comfortable breaks. And that's not necessarily what God has called us to do. And so you see, we faint not, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's the secret. Some of you say, but my body's left me down. Though our outward man perish. My legs, my knees, my joints, my mind, physical pain, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Is your inward man being renewed? Is your inward man, that walk with God, being renewed day by day in your relationship with the Lord? Were you just relying in the past just on your physical abilities? your talent, your grit. You know, many times you'll be a more effective servant when you're older because you know it's not you anymore. It's not you at all. You can't do it, Lord. Your body leaves you down. You don't have the strength and the energy, but you want to serve the Lord. And so your inward man is renewed, and when you do it, God gets the glory. Because when we're young, you say, I've got energy, I've got a good mind, I can do it all myself, and we tend to rely on ourselves. And we can wing the lesson. No one will even know, and you even get proud. I don't pray over my lessons, I don't even study them. I just go in and teach because I've got that ability. I'm not spirit-filled, but I just do it. Nobody knows. Nothing ever happens. For which cause we faint not. Oh, we see that again and again in the New Testament. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we do not quit, if we do not stop, if we do not lose heart, if we do not get discouraged. If we don't say, well, nothing's happening around here. Where's everybody at? And I've tried this. No one ever gets saved. That's not necessarily up to us. I think of that Sunday school teacher who was just a layman in the church, supposedly teaching the Sunday school class, had a burden for one of his boys. One of his 17-year-old boys just didn't have any desire to serve the Lord, didn't even know if he was saved. All the kid talked about was money, 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 and wanting to be a millionaire. But he was burdened. And he actually went and visited him, something that doesn't get done a whole lot today. Myself, you, it used to happen all the time. And so I'm going to go visit that teen boy at his job. And there he goes. He goes in, and that young man was working at a shoe shop, his uncle's shoe shop. And he was a rising star because he had a good personality. He could talk people into buying shoes and doing things. And there he was in the back room, and there he was, Edward Kimball, came and visited Dwight, 17-year-old Dwight, who was lost. And he shared Christ, and he said, I'm just burdened for you, Dwight. I don't know if you know the Lord. And he gave him the gospel. What do you know it? D.L. Moody. Dwight Moody received Christ right there as a 17-year-old boy. And guess what happened? He was transformed. No longer interested just in being the next millionaire and setting the world on fire in Chicago. He began to go to church. And you know what? Guess what he got burdened for a little bit? In fact, his ministry, he wasn't even really a full-time evangelist. The Civil War broke out. He began just to go around as an itinerant preacher preaching in Civil War camps. Seeing people come to Christ, he came back to Chicago. Many of you know this story. He was burdened for the street kids. We need to have a ministry for the street kids. At the church, didn't want the street kids, though. They're dirty. They tear holes in the pews. They spill stuff on the carpet. They run around all the time. Now, I'm not talking about parents that aren't training your kids. I'm talking about street kids. No parents or orphans. They're running around. They're just getting into hooligans. Well, why can't we reach those kids? They didn't want him in the church. They said, and now we're talking about a teenager. Actually, he was a little older than a teenager at this point. He was in his 20s. He said, fine, I'll go rent a hall. I'll go find an empty abandoned building, and we'll have our own little Sunday school for them. And he never finished high school, as you know. Many people have made fun of D.L. Moody because he wasn't that eloquent. He was a little bit country. And he never got a high school education. He never went necessary formal training. But he said, I got a burden for these kids. It swelled to hundreds of boys and girls that would come. And they were ruffians, all right? And a lot of people say, hey, young man, why are you guys going to his little place? Our church is closer. He says, I know, but down there they love a fella. Down there they love a fella. And they give him the gospel. I don't know if he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He just said, I see a need, let's do it. Many times they were quite young. I think of another story. Another young man, huh? Charlie. Not that Charlie. 15-year-old Charlie, religious, time to go to church. But it was snowing, massive snowstorm. Who goes in those, right? But he still wanted to go to church, but his church was too far away, so I'm just going to go to the closest one. So he went to one he didn't normally attend. It was this little Methodist church. And he went in, and he sat in the back, and he was wet and cold, and there was only about 10, 12 people there. And the pastor didn't even come. And who's going to take over the service? Well, just an old layman. I don't know if he was a deacon or not. Somebody got up, old guy got up there, and guess what he turned to? He turned to our verse of the month, Isaiah 45:22. And he said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And he wasn't a preacher, and he might have looked down the whole time, and it said that he only went about 8 to 10 minutes, and that was all he had. But he looked at that young man in the back, And he pointed at him. He said, young man, look at me. Look and live. You look miserable. Look unto Jesus Christ and be saved and live. And that young man did look and live that night. His name was Charles Spurgeon, Prince of Preachers. Gave that testimony many times. He said, oh, I praise God for that old man. He wasn't a preacher. He just got up there and stumbled around, but God led him to a text and said, young man, you look miserable. Look unto Jesus Christ and be a saved. You know what? And Charlie Spurgeon received Jesus Christ. And if you read his story, again, before he was even a 20-year-old, he was already serving in the church, burden for lost souls, kids to church. Whoa. Many times we say, I was sitting there thinking about that. That'd be a good test for this church. Wednesday night, I'm not there, Charlie's not there, Nathan's not there, Shane's not there, and Pastor Kremar's not there. It's 7 o'clock. Let's say, where are the preachers? We're at pastor's house watching live stream. Let's see what happens over there. Anybody ready? Any of our men? Any of our men in the Word? Can they not just stand up and share Christ and say, hey, this is what God's been teaching me? It'd be an interesting test, right? The pastor didn't show up. 8 or 10 people. Oh, I just get up here and just share something, I guess. Well, here's what I read in my devotions. I hope I get, that'd be a good test, right? Should we not have plenty of men that could do that? You don't have to be called to preach, you know that. Everybody understand the difference? There's the office of a pastor, and then there's preaching. Now, part of the pastoring is preaching. But you can preach and not be a pastor. All right? Does anybody understand? Sometimes we blend the... Sometimes people get discouraged. Let me just take a second here. Sometimes those that are divorced. Divorced men will get discouraged. Say, well, you know, I can't be a deacon. And you're right. And I can't be a pastor. And you're correct. You cannot hold those offices. But I like what one preacher said. But every man can do the work of a deacon. Not every man can hold the office of a deacon, but every man can do the work of a deacon. That's just being a servant. Well, not every man can hold the office of a pastor, but you know, every man can preach. I hope you understand that. Now, I know there's a call to preach, but every man can preach. You don't have to be a pastor. You can preach to the rescue mission. You can preach at Crossing Tower, men that are divorced. You can preach at the nursing homes. You can preach on the street corner. You're not eliminated. You're not useless. Everybody can do the work of a deacon. Everybody can do that in the church. Everybody can serve and be used of the Lord. Everybody has a ministry. Everybody can proclaim the gospel. I'm not a missionary. Everybody's been called to proclaim the gospel. Go into all the world. You can do that. You can start a five-day club in your neighborhood. You can round up the kids and get them together for a week and 5 day. Who can't do that? You can have them in your porch. You can have them outside. Kool-Aid. Tell them a little story. Sing the songs. Who can't do that? You can get your little business group. You can start a devotional at your business. You can have a little prayer time to get permission. You can do that. You can give a challenge. It's been done before. There's been revivals break out from that. You can serve the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Let's continue reading. Look at verse number 2. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You say, Pastor Boyer, why the urgency to have a ministry? Why the urgency to reach Duryea? Why an urgency? Because the next verse is right here, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Every one of us has been called to serve. Every one of us has been given the ministry of the gospel. Everyone, everyone. We have this ministry. We have this. And you can't say I'm not able because chapter 3 says he has made us able. We don't all look the same. We don't do it the same way. Not going to sound the same way. Not going to do it the same way. But if it's the gospel, it's the gospel. It's the power is in the gospel. The gospel is what's powerful. Not your deliverance necessarily. Not your talent, ability, and your background. Not your education. It's the gospel that's powerful. It's the enabling of the Lord. Our sufficiency is of God, not of us. In fact, the very moment you say, I can't do it, is the very moment it's time to start doing it. The very moment you say, but Lord, I can't, is when the Lord says, yes, you can. I will enable you. And you realize, I've got to be humble. I've got to be, and you're going to have all these excuses, your flesh, your age, your health, your work, your family. It'll just be nonstop, all the reasons you can't do it. But we have this ministry, and if we have received mercy, and the gospel has transformed our lives, has it? Well, maybe not. I often wonder, maybe that's why. It's not transformed you. It's not transformed your life, your marriage, your home, or anything. It's sort of dead. So why would you even want to share it with anybody else? But if it has transformed you and is transforming you, and you have received mercy and are continuing to receive mercy, and you have the new life in Jesus Christ, you say, how can I keep that to myself? I cannot faint. I cannot quit. I cannot give up. I cannot just fade off to the side. No, I'm going to give out the gospel. And if our gospel is hid or concealed, it's hid to them that are lost. How many are lost in Duryea? If there's 5,000 in Duryea, how many do you think are lost? If they're lost, who will share the gospel with them? If they're lost, if you have a high number in your mind, they're lost, then who's going to share the gospel, if not us? You can take your town you live in or your development. If you think the most vast majority of your neighbors or your little town or borough is lost, but yet God wants them to be found, then who will tell them? It's not going to be the lost people. It's not going to be the other churches necessarily. It's going to be those that know Christ. It's going to be those of us who've experienced mercy and has been given the ministry and understand the enabling comes from God, not us, and that we have the light to help them in their darkness, and that the only thing that'll help them be unblinded is the gospel. And so if it's not you and I, who is it going to be? Verse 5. Actually, let me go back just a second here as I go back to, I haven't really been in note form, but what is our ministry? Our ministry, verses 3:2-4, is to proclaim the truth, to proclaim the gospel. That's our ministry. Now, that's in every ministry that this church does. In services, the gospel. In Kids for Truth, Wednesday night, youth group, Sunday school. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't mean a full gospel message every single time. It doesn't mean an invitation every single time. But the gospel, the purpose of it is not just we want to have 50 kids and say, look how many kids come to our program. Whoa, look how many kids in our youth group. Whoa, you know, look at the parking lot. That's not the goal. Whoa, look how many people in the church service. Whoa, look at the offerings. That's not the goal. The goal is the gospel. How many folks are coming to know Christ? How many folks are following the Lord and believers back? How many folks are being discipled? How many folks then are then going out? I tell you what, really get excited when they get saved and baptized and faithful, and then they become a soul winner. And they get excited and they say, whoa, look, I just led my friend to Christ. Whoa, and they get the excitement of that. Now I'm discipling them. Just a few years ago, I was being discipled. But God's called me to teach others also. And I'm not just going to keep it to myself. And this is exciting. And you see the ministry. So our message, our ministry is the truth. Thy word is truth. Right here, proclaim and manifest the truth. We're to give that to others. We're to proclaim the gospel in everything we do. Now, what's our message? Our message is verse 5. Our message is not IBC. Our message is not our denomination. No, no, no. Our message is verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hey, our message is this: Jesus Christ saves, Jesus Christ transforms. You can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The message is, look at me, young man. Look at me, young lady. Look at me, older man. Look and be saved. Now, how many times we can point something? You look miserable. Is it because you need Christ? Is it because you're walking in disobedience? Is because you're away from God, look unto the Lord. be delivered. That is the message, Jesus Christ. Take a look at verses 6 on, and we'll finish up this morning. For God, verse 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's a command, not an option. It's a commission. Verse 7, what's our method? Here's the method, and we'll finish with this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Earthen vessels, you've heard preaching on this. Earthen vessels, clay pots. We're all clay pots. Clay pots can be what? Easily chipped and broken, right? We're pretty fragile people, right? I mean, we all of us, me here, right here. I mean, we're on cloud nine. Praise God, woo! And then, I mean, but tomorrow we're just, boom. No, God, where are you? Life is awful. You know, I mean, we are fragile clay pots. We can be easily chipped and broken and cracked and dropped. We want to quit. We want to faint. We get discouraged. You know? And it says our treasure is in earthen vessels. We need to always remember that we're earthen vessels, that God uses earthen vessels because the power is His. It's not in us. It's what it says right there, that the power is not of us but of God. It's God's power. None of us have the power to be a soul winner and knock on doors. God has the power. None of us have the power to teach children. Oh, God has the power. We're just earthen vessels that are willing to be used. We need to be empty, we need to be clean, and we need to be available. That's all you need for a vessel. Empty of yourself, clean, and available. And the Lord says, I can use you. That's all it takes. I know, Lord, but I've been cracked and glued. That's okay. Yeah, I got a lot of chips out of me here now. That's not a problem. It's of me anyways. I do that. Have you never read your Bible? That's what I do. That's my power. Sunday school, I take Saul of Tarsus and I use him as a chosen vessel. Wow. I take some of you at the Corinthian church who were homosexuals, adulterers, fornicators, temple prostitutes, drunkards, and such were some of you. You are washed and you're set. Whoa, that's what I do. God says, I'm in the transformation business. I can save, I can rescue, I can deliver. We'll finish with the next three verses. Our time is up. Our method is what? God, I want to serve you. Our message is Christ saves. How do we do it? It's of God. Verse 8, notice, it doesn't mean there's not going to be hard times. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Most of us have never experienced any of that. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Let me finish with that verse. You'll notice the end of verse 10 and the end of verse 11 are exactly the same. That the life, it basically says that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That is the whole duty of a believer. All right, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I'm saved. What do I do the rest of my life? You're to live so that everybody sees Jesus Christ in your life. That the life of Jesus might be made manifest or fully revealed. Manifest means to be fully known, fully shown in me. Whoa! Exactly. So that anywhere and every place I go, people see Jesus Christ and I can make him. A lot of churches have this slogan. It's a good slogan. To know Christ and to make him known. Maybe you've heard that. Our church motto is to know Christ and to make him known. I mean, that's what we're talking about. To know him personally and then to make him known to everybody else. That the life of Christ, now think about the life of Christ, might be manifested and fully known in my life. My actions, reactions, my speech, my thinking, my service, everything I do would be like Jesus Christ. Whoa. That is the Christian life. That is sanctification, becoming more like Christ through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God until the Lord calls us home or He takes us out of here to glory during the rapture of the church. Your flesh will say, I can't do it, Lord. Your flesh will say, I'll fail, Lord. Your flesh will say, I have failed, Lord. Your flesh will say, I'm not prepared. I'm not qualified. I can't do it. Look at all the things between here and there, Lord. It just can't be done. And yet, what does the Lord say? Many times we mistake the calling for the immediate preparation. Now, sharing the gospel, yes, is there good? Can we do some soul winning? Can we do some clinics? Can we give some help on that? Of course. All right, do you have to have that? No. It can be helpful, though, to answer things and know how to approach people, but you don't have to have any of that. But don't mistake the calling of ministry, which we're called, with actual, there's certain things you do immediately. But let's remember some things. When the Lord called his disciples, what did he say to them? He said, follow me and I will make you. He didn't say you are. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, if you stopped at the end of 3 years, you would say Jesus failed. He was not a good teacher. Those guys, if you stopped at the cross, you'd say that was a waste of time. If that was your Sunday school class, you had 12 guys in your Sunday school class, and you poured your life in them for 3 years, and then you're like, that was a waste. One departed from the faith. One denied the Lord. I mean, we talked about not being ashamed. He just denied the Lord, even cursed. And everybody else ran away. And no one believed. Oh, my, what a waste of time. I will make you to be fishers of men. They were not a finished product. Even in the ministry of Christ. Are any of us superior to Christ? We might think our lessons are good, but Jesus Christ, I will make you. They had to be purified. They had to be transformed. And even in the book of Acts, still a work in progress. All of us are works in progress. The Lord just says, I want you to follow me. I will make you. I will get you ready for that ministry. I just need you to be willing. I will hone you. I will polish you. I will prepare you. There will be ups and downs. I will make you fishers' men. What do you need? You need obedience. If the Lord's pricked to your heart, you need obedience. You need faith. It's time to do it. Launch into the deep. You need humbleness. I can't do it, Lord. I don't know how this is going to work. And you need courage. I like this. It's going to be his power. So we finish this morning. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Are you still praying that? Have you stopped praying it? Did you not pray it at all? Has he revealed anything to you? Do you have a yearning? Are you willing to take that step? That's called faith. Many of us are too cautious. Everything has to line up. Everything has to make perfect sense. Everything has to equal in the budget with the money. Not walking by faith in any way with giving. Everything has to be perfect with schedules. And if you don't do it, you don't live in any way by faith. It's to live by faith. If God's put a yearning, you got to jump at it. You got to trust him. You got to throw the net out. Throw the nets out. Let the Lord do the rest. Let's pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Saved to serve. Therefore, we have this ministry. Let us faint not. Let us faint not. I praise God for many of you who are faithfully involved in local ministry here at this church and have been for many years. Perhaps, though, you've grown a little critical, disillusioned, maybe even feel that you've earned a level. May look down on others. Maybe you're no longer relying on the Lord. Maybe you need a fresh look at ministry. Many of you may be not doing anything and haven't done anything and content to sit idly by. And yet there's a loneliness and a yearning in your heart, but you blame it on everything else but what it is. God wants you to serve and you're not serving. And you blame everything on something else other than the fact that you've been disobedient. And is that old layman in that church said, young man, look unto me, you look miserable. Maybe I'm speaking not to a young man, but to an older man, an older lady. Maybe I'm speaking to a teenager. You look miserable. What's wrong? You need Jesus Christ, perhaps, to be saved. Perhaps your greatest need is salvation, young man, young lady, adult, husband, wife. Look to him and be saved. But for some of you, you've been saved, but you stopped looking at the Lord. You've grown cold. Oh, maybe the Lord's pricked your heart. Maybe you're exactly where he wants you to be. But maybe he's calling you and you need to take a step of faith and say, Lord, I really believe you've laid this on my heart. I can't shake it. I've been praying this and I just can't get it out of my mind. I don't know if I can do it. I've never done it. It doesn't make any sense, but I just can't seem to shake it. So yes, Lord, I'm going to just go ahead and say yes. And Lord, put my hand in yours. You're going to have to give me strength, Lord. I can't do it, but you can. The Lord says, perfect. Just what I need. Just who I can use. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our pianist is going to play. Our song leader is going to come and sing. You don't even need to wait for the music to begin. It's God's worked in your heart, why don't you just come right now? Take that step of faith. Take that step of humility. Take that step of courage and say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. Yes, Lord, this is scary, but I'm ready. Maybe you need to be born again today. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, you don't know what would happen if you died today, you need to come forward. We can share Jesus Christ with you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Shane comes and begins to sing. If God's worked in your heart in any way, would you answer? Be right with Him.
Lord, I give my life to You. Take control each day.
Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do, Lord? To be saved, now's the time. Come on right now, let's be saved. Trust Christ.
My Lord, send me.
He is quick to save, merciful.
Here am I, Lord.
Maybe you need to slip up and say, preacher, I'm ready to be baptized. Get me into class.
I will serve You.
Preacher, it's time for me to join. What I need to do.
Here am I, Lord.
Preacher, I'm ready to serve. What do you need me to do? God's called me to this thing. Help me. Let's meet and pray. We can do it.
Lord, I want Your perfect will. Be my faithful.
As a child of God, you're either very comfortable or you're uncomfortable right now.
I will.
God's given you peace that you're right where He wants you. Or you're uncomfortable. You're battling. Yield to Him right now. He's a merciful God.
Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. I will serve You faithfully. Here am I, Lord, send me.
Just close in prayer. Dismiss. Close in prayer.
Let's bow in prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Directs our thoughts, brings conviction upon our hearts. And Lord, we cannot escape what the Word of God tells us. Lord, we've been saved to serve. Lord, wherever that place may be, Lord, may we find it today if we are not already doing it. Help us to remember that this world is not our home. And one day when we see Thee face to face, a life of service, we shall say it will have been worth it all. Lord, no man has given up in this life but has not received multitudes that in eternity. Help us, Lord, to live here with a heart that desires to serve our Lord. Well, thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.